Welcome to The New Schools. Our guest today is not a best-selling author or founder of a futuristic micro school. Tiersa McQueen is a full-time working mother of four and a proud unschooler. She does find time to engage with her thousands of followers on Twitter and to make YouTube videos showing a day in the life of an unschooling mom and family. There are as many ways to do unschooling as there are families doing it, so I won't try to summarize it here. Let's get straight to the conversation to learn what unschooling means to this family. How do the kids learn and socialize, and what did their journey from traditional homeschooling to unschooling look like? Here's your host, Shannon Falkenstein, and Tiersa McQueen.
Hello, Tiersa McQueen, and welcome to the New Schools podcast. We're so happy to have you on today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's gonna be a great conversation. I'm so curious about your life and everything that you do. So I usually start out with a question of like, what's your favorite thing about working with young people? But I know that you're working mostly with your family, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm going to kind of switch it up a little and just get you to dive right in with like your story. Like, how did you come to be an unschooler?
Yeah. So it actually started, I don't even know how long it's been now. I want to say 6 years. 6 years ago, we had moved from New Jersey to Texas. And my older two kids, I have four kids, actually. My oldest son is 15. I have a daughter who's 13. She'll be 14 next month. And I have 10-year-old twins. And at the time, my oldest son was going into, he was going to go into fourth grade. And he did very well in school, but he just did not like it. He couldn't stand it. Like, it was like very troubling to me how much he didn't like it. And I would try to get advice from other people, and they would just say things like, well, you know, kids don't like school, like just deal with it. You know, they just don't like it. And he's a boy too. And boys always complain about school. So that's just, it's par for the course. And it just didn't sit right with me. It just felt wrong. So I didn't like say anything to him about it, but one day at school, they had a disciplinary thing that occurred where someone got in trouble and then everyone in the whole class got in trouble. They weren't allowed to go to recess. And he was livid. He came home and he was done. He thought this was like the biggest injustice in the entire world. And he just didn't understand it. And I had to tell him, like, well, sometimes that's what they do in school. You know, that's what happens. And he was like, this is so unfair. So then later on that year, he said, Mom, I think I want to try homeschooling. Do you think it'll be okay if I homeschool? And I was like, okay, yeah, sure, fine. But I thought he would get over it. Like, I thought it was just something that a kid says. I mean, he was like 8 or 9, and I thought, okay, well, you know, he just said that and he will forget about that because he'll have friends and he'll be having fun and, you know, so he'll forget about it. No, when the school year was over and I was going back to school shopping for the next year, I was like, what do you need for back to school shopping? And he said, what are you talking about? I'm homeschooling this year. Remember that? Remember we talked about that? And I was like, oh, you were serious about that. Okay. And I like had this idea. I've always had this idea of like, I respect my children. So if they tell me that they are unhappy or anything, I believe them. So I believed him. You know, he was saying it again. He was reiterating it. So I said, okay, it must be true. So I asked my daughter, do you want to homeschool too? And I said, because you don't have to. And she said, yeah, I want to try it too. So I talked to my husband and we both worked. But we wanted to figure this out. So I talked to him and he had recently just got a job at working overnight and I work 9 to 5. So I said, what do you think? You think we could do this? You think, you know, would you be too tired? Cause you'd be home during the day. And he said, yeah, I think we could do it. I just don't think we could do all four of the kids. Cause like I said, I had two little ones that were like 3 at the time. And so we put in the email to the school and withdrew them from school, the older two. And we said, okay, let's just give it a try. And 6 years later, now all the kids homeschool. It's been the best thing ever. We went from school at home because I didn't know what to do at first. So I just bought a bunch of curriculum, went online and looked up, what do I do? You know, just trying to follow the steps and just things that I knew to do. And then it just evolved into unschooling, like years later. It was like a steady, like relaxation into unschooling. That doesn't mean we don't do as much as we did. I feel like sometimes we do more, but it's just not the same style that we were doing before. So that's basically how I started. You know, we just started with the kids saying we wanted to homeschool and we said we would try it out. And then we just didn't stop. We just kept doing it. And it's been a great, just an amazing journey. We love it.
That's so cool. Thank you so much for sharing your story. My story is kind of similar. My son was, he's old, you know, the oldest like yours was. I also have a daughter who's 10 and my son is 12. And same thing, first grade, he was like just dying of boredom and just like wanted to move around and explore and build and do. And they were like, you know, you have to sit and listen to a teacher talk. And he was just like dying. And so I was like, I don't know what we're doing, but I can't do this. And so then I did like, except I did it really quickly. Like I started like, okay, now we're going to do math, you know, today. And they were like, no, we don't want to do math, you know? And so then I really quickly noticed like, this isn't going to work. So then I just started asking like, what do you want to do today? What do you want to learn today? And that was fun, but we were super isolated and I felt lonely and like, I just felt disconnected. And so I wanted more people. So I ended up starting a school, but will you talk a little bit about that? Like, did you feel isolated or lonely or that you didn't have a context or people to share with you? Or were you okay with that? Like how has your development been?
Yeah, well, I didn't really feel more isolated than I was because, like I said, I'd moved from New Jersey. That's where I'm from. That's where we're all from to Texas. So we were already like, it was different for us. It was a new environment and we didn't have any family there. So the kids' only like outlet was school. That was the way that they got socialization, as they say. It was the way that they met people. So what I did was, socialization, quote unquote, air quotes. So, and I was worried about that. Like most people are, I was worried, you know, are they going to be isolated? Are they going to, you know, not be, are they going to be awkward? Are they going to not be able to know how to talk to people? And the more that I delved into it, the more I realized, well, they don't have to not do social things. Like they can do other things that they would still do at school. So we just found things like my daughter's very active in Girl Scouts. She loves Girl Scouts. I became Girl Scout troop leader so that she could meet other girls. She has three brothers. So, you know, she wanted to meet other girls anyway. So she got a lot of exposure to other people and practice socializing with other people through Girl Scouts. My older son, he liked to play chess. So we found chess class through the local Parks and Rec and through the library system. He also liked to play Dungeons and Dragons. So we found classes for him to do that. And so we just figured out that we needed to just be out more. So we, part of our like unschooling philosophy was like learning by doing and having experiences. So I got memberships to all the local museums and we just started going out a lot and taking trips, prioritizing, traveling, taking road trips, all those type of things so that they could have experiences because those were the ways that they were learning the most. They were by having these experiences. Like I remember, I can recall them understanding more of the landscape of the country because we took a trip from Texas to Oklahoma City and then went up to Kansas City. And I remember them looking at the map and being like, oh, that's where that is. Like, and understanding and putting it together because they were actually doing it and actually looking at the road atlas while we were on the road trip. So we would do more things like that so they could get the actual experience and learn through those experiences. And those are the things that have really stuck with them.
Right. Like the real world.
Exactly. Like the real world experiences.
Life. Like exactly. Just living life. Daily mm-hmm. life. Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. That's amazing. I love that. The podcast is really focused on families that are like where you were at in 2015 or whatever.
Okay,
and where I was at also where, mm-hmm. where you're like, I don't want to, like you're frustrated or you're disillusioned or you're even just inspired. Like mm-hmm. I want to do something bigger, better, different, whatever. And then, but you don't really know what to do. And so right. you start looking at like homeschooling, unschooling, different, you know, Sudbury or Acton or whatever. And so you're like kind of on that precipice of deciding, but you're still feeling kind of scared.
Right.
So what I always ask, like, what would be your, like, tell us about your fear. And then also like, what would be your advice to parents now that you took the plunge and you love it? Like, what can you talk a little bit to parents who are like, I'm scared to do something different?
Yes. I had all the fears and I still do. Like, I still worry about things. I still, I have to reach out to people who were in the position before me. Like you were saying, like I speak with Akilah Richards all the time. You know, she wrote Raising Free People.
Yeah.
So I'm in a lot of groups with her and I do a lot of things with her. But I was afraid when I first started. I just wanted my kids to have a great childhood and have the experience of a great childhood. And them being miserable at school every day didn't seem like that was it. So the fear that I had initially was that I didn't know what I was doing. That was my like biggest fear. Like, are they going to be able to do the things that you think they need to do if you don't put them in school? And what I found was as I'm doing it is that they are doing more than I expected them to do. They go farther than I ever thought they would go the more I relax. So the more, when I first started, I started with school at home because I think that's what most people do because that's what you know. You do exactly what you know to do. So it's like sit at the kitchen table and let's get these books out. Let's get these, you know, pencils and let's just do the whole rigmarole. But the thing is, the more I got into it, the more, just like you said, the tears over math, the, you know, all of these things. And I was like, well, if I did this so that we could have a better experience, this doesn't feel better to me. So if I had to go back, I would start with just like a heavy deschooling period where I don't do anything. Like, I would have not rushed into replacing or trying to replicate school. I would have just not done anything. And I know that's where a lot of people, their fear comes in a lot, is where it's like, well, if we don't do anything, then what do we do? But I need to reassure people that your kids are still learning. Your kids are still learning. And the one experience, I've had lots of experiences like that since I've been an unschooler, but one I can think off the top of my head was when one of my sons, he was very little and he was learning how to read. And he was playing video games and he asked me every day to read the instructions for him because there's instructions in all these video games that you have to read. And I would say, okay. So I would sit there and watch him play and read the instructions. And then there was one day where I couldn't do that. I was busy. I could not. I was like, I can't do it right now. I'm sorry. And that just lit a fire underneath him to learn how to read. Like, he was like, oh no, I can't wait for mom. I want to do this. So he started pulling out workbooks, pulling out books, you know, and just delving into reading in a way that I hadn't seen in a long time. And he learned how to read fluently within like 2 weeks. He was just like, I don't need you anymore. You know, like, you can go. And I've seen that happen over and over and over, that when it becomes applicable to their life, they do it very fast. So that's what I was saying earlier, that you have to put them in situations where they need to do these things. Like, for instance, like, we would go to the library. And so I have them fill out their library card, so apply their library card. And one of my sons, he didn't know how to write that well. Well, you're going to learn how to write today because you have to fill out this form. And then you also get the experience of, oh, this is what happens when I go out. This is what happens when I have to fill out forms. And, you know, and if I don't know how to do this, how can I get around this? Well, we have iPhones, and you can scan the document into your iPhone, and then you can type into the form and then email it to the person. Like, you have to figure out ways to live life and be in the world. And the only way to do that is to actually be in the world. So that's why I was saying that, like, we try to give them as many experiences and put them in situations where they have to learn these things or feel like it's necessary. Like, they understand why it would be necessary to learn these things. And then they just do it on their own. We don't have to do it for them, because contrary to popular belief, kids understand the stakes. Like, they see adults and they understand what they're going to have to do in the future. They understand that they're going to one day have to get a job and do all the things that mom and dad do and all the adults do. So they are learning. They do take it seriously. Even if it doesn't look like it to you, even if it didn't look like it to me, I understand now that they do take it seriously. You just have to put them in a situation where they understand and they can see when I would have to do these things. And then they'll do it, you know, or they figure out another way.
Yeah. Something that keeps coming up for me over the last couple of months, somebody said, was that the obstacle is the way.
Yeah.
So, like, when they meet the obstacle, that's the thing that ends up that they learn through, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you just keep putting them, like you said, in situations that they want to be in, and then they have to, like, get through it. And
right. And they do it extremely fast too.
Yeah.
Like, once they have the why, they do it so quickly.
Yes.
It's just that, you know, they're not usually put into situations where they need to do these things.
No. So why would I learn something? It's an artificial environment.
Exactly.
It's all abstract. That's why they have to repeat it.
Right.
Over and over again. Because they didn't really learn.
Why would that stick?
Because they're checked out. Yeah, totally.
Exactly. And there's just no why. Why am I doing this? Because you said to.
Yeah.
Because maybe one day in the future, I might need to know it.
Right.
But I don't need it today.
Right.
You know, exactly. if they're living their lives right now. They're people right now. So if you can show them how are you going to use this now, then, oh, okay. It's just that quick. It goes that quickly because their children aren't as unreasonable as we think they are. They're more reasonable than we give them credit for.
Yes, I totally agree. So I first met you like today, but I first started like following you on Twitter. And so something I'm just really love about what you write on Twitter and I'm curious about and want to make sure that you share with the audience is like that it really comes across like your tremendous respect for children and your it's just like your mindset or the way that you just are, that you kind of are really respectful of kids. And I think I struggle with, I agree with that, but sometimes I struggle to put that into practice because of my own like triggers and whatever, you know, but can you just talk to our audience a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So I always had this like mindset of respecting children and I haven't been as good at it as I am now. Like when I started, it was just like, hey, these are people. Like that was just a thought in my head. Like this is a person. And it's evolved to the point where it is now, the more I get to actually know my children as people. So a part of it for me is not playing the role of mom all the time. So I always show up as like the role of mother. I realized that I was doing that. So the role of mom is always like instructing and telling someone what to do and giving advice and just like, exactly. Just constantly just being a mom, brush your teeth, eat your vegetables. Don't watch that. You know, like things.
And you feel like that's like, I feel like that's like fear driven.
Yes, it is. It is. It's 100%. You're just like, so afraid.
Like, are they going to have the habit of flossing? Like, are they going to
exactly.
be able to handle the situation and like you're always mm-hmm. afraid and then I feel like you're like bathing in fear in your brain and so then they do something and you're like, bah, because you're trying to be
a fortune teller. You're trying to predict the future and see, you know, exactly where your children are going to be in the next 10, 20 years. You don't know that.
Right.
You don't even know what the world is going to be like. You have no idea. So when I got that through my head, like I just started thinking about the past. So I started thinking about the fact that the thing that my mom was a word processor. That's not even a job anymore.
Right, right.
Like that's what she did.
I remember those.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like that's what you did for a job. And like the jobs that my children probably would have don't even exist now. They don't even exist. The jobs that I have, I didn't know that this job existed. Like I'm a location planner. I had no idea that a location planner even existed when I was in college. Did not know at all. It's like we get an idea in our head of what the way the world is. And it's like stuck in this like past of, you know, I always say that I know what it's like to be a 10-year-old in 1991. I do not know what it's like to be a 10-year-old in 2021.
Right.
And I can't even pretend that I do know. So I feel like I didn't want to fall into the same trap that our boomer parents fell into, which was advising us for a future that didn't come, that didn't happen.
Right.
A place that doesn't exist anymore. So I decided that I would get to know my children as the people they are and not parent them for the future. Parent the people they are right now and get to know who they are today. And just always, because children are going to evolve just like we evolve and they get older and we know that they get older, but I don't want to always be focusing on the future. Because it'll never come. It'll always be focusing on the future. It would always be that. It would never be, when am I going to get to know my child today? When am I going to parent the child they are right now?
Right, right. Because so, you're like missing today.
Right. If I'm always thinking about, like, oh my God, if they don't know how to do this, then maybe in 10 years, they won't, you know, be able to get a job. Or if they don't know how to do this, homelessness. Oh my God, they're going to be homeless.
Yeah, like, totally, right.
Like living in a van, the worst possible scenario. And then if you would just, like, if I just sit and talk to them and I figure, and I listen to them, I'm like, oh, this kid's not going to be homeless. You know what I mean? Like, he's way smarter than that. Like, I had to get the idea of the person out of my head and just talk to the actual person who is my child. And stop projecting on them what I wanted for them, who I thought they were, who I wanted them to be, and just listen to who they are right now. And so, have them tell me their own hopes, fears, desires, everything as a person.
And when you're talking, you sound like this was like, you said that this is like a process that you kind of have like evolved to be more like this. And what, like how did you do that?
Well, I don't actually know. It just one step at a time. That's what I would say.
Okay.
One step at a time. Cause I understood that when I first started unschooling, we put away all the curriculum. I had told the kids like, okay, what if we didn't do curriculum this year? Because there was too many pain points with the curriculum. So I said, you know what? You guys seem to be learning more by doing what you want to do, because you come in and you tell me all of these wonderful facts. You show me all of these wonderful samples of your work. And I didn't suggest that. I didn't put that, you know, on your plate. You just decided to do that. So what if we just did that? You know, and this was before I even knew what unschooling was. I didn't know that it was a thing that people did. Mm-hmm. I learned about it.
You were doing like homeschooling.
Right. I was homeschooling. And then I just evolved into, it was like a process. It was like an ongoing like evolution into unschooling. And that's when I reached out to Akilah Richards. That's when I started joining groups on Facebook and unschooling just groups. Because I wanted to meet other unschoolers, especially Black ones. And women of color that were doing what I thought I wanted to do. And so I met a lot of them and I was just so grateful. But I understood after I started unschooling and understood it as an educational practice, I realized that I was going to have to be a gentle or conscious or respectful parent too. Like it wasn't going to work just as an educational tool. Mm-hmm. You know, it had to be all of it. So I had to apply those same like unschooling mindsets to just everything, to chores, to bedtimes, to all, the whole nine yards. I had to apply it to everything, or else the other part wasn't going to work. And it became more of a parenting practice than an educational one, where I started to see that parents are the teachers. We are the first teachers. And I understood that if my kids went to school and I never said anything, I never taught them anything, they still would have been uneducated. Mm-hmm. Because I need to teach them the real history. I mean, their history that they weren't going to learn in school, you know, right. All of the things that I know that they wouldn't learn in school. And I also needed to teach them how to find the information that they weren't going to find in school. So regardless, I was still going to have to do that. So I just started as an unschooler, incorporating gentle parenting and conscious parenting into unschooling. And then it just became just like a full-on parenting practice where unschooling is like really in the background.
Right.
It's more just like I'm just a parent now. And as that parent, I'm just being myself. I try very hard not to play the role of mom, okay. but just show up as mom. And mom is me. So
So you're saying like gentle parenting and conscious parenting. Like, did you read like books, you know, like Shefali Tabari, I'm probably mutilating her name, but, or like, did you do like a mindfulness practice, or was it like where you would like set an intention that day and then like you do it a little bit better that day. And then the next day you do it like a little bit better, you know? Cause yeah, I think these things are like, I didn't grow up with conscious, gentle parenting. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I think we have a lot of habits as parents that we didn't consciously take on. And so to unparent ourselves is like mm-hmm. a thing, right?
Right. I did read books, but they weren't necessarily books about unschooling. They were more like just, you know, they were like parenting books.
Uh-huh, right.
Yeah. You know, just books that would say, you know, it makes sense to give your kids more freedom.
Okay, right. Like you know, Free to Learn or like...
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like Free to Learn by Frieda Gray and like, what's the other one? Hold on, I'll find it for you.
Anything by John Holt.
Yeah. Well, I'd already read all of those things, but okay. I was still using it as like an unschooling tool. Like I was still thinking
not
of it.
Not a parenting tool.
No, not as a parenting tool, because it was more like if you do this, then your kids will, you know, they'll be smarter, or you don't have to do this. You can trust them. But I was thinking about trusting them as in regards to
learning.
Yeah, in like regards to ever. Education, right, not in regards to their own life. I don't know how I separated that in my mind, but I did. But yeah, I did have to read a lot of books to help me come out of that, you know. And one of the main books that I read is called The Self-Driven Child.
Oh.
The Science and Sense of Giving Your Kids More Control Over Their Lives.
The Self-Driven Child. Who's the author on that?
The author is William Stixrud, Stixrud, and Ned Johnson. And this book really helped me a lot because it was basically just saying that it makes sense to give your kids more freedom over their lives. And that... One of the things that stuck with me about that book was when the authors were saying that you can, if a kindergartner wanted to make a decision on whether or not to stay back or go to kindergarten, they could make that decision because the decision would be the same as an adult would make. They're either going to say, I do want to go back, or I don't want to go back. They're not going to say something off the wall, like I want to join the circus.
Right.
So,
it's like two equally acceptable choices.
Exactly. And in that book, it taught me that if you give your kids, if you give them all the information and all of the knowledge, that they're going to make a decision similar to what you would make. And that just made sense to me. So I started doing that. Like I don't have to make every decision for them. I can let them make their own decisions, because if I give them all of the tools, if I give them all the information that I have, then they can make a good decision. So I started doing that and it worked. It did wonders for my relationship with the kids because they understood that I trusted them, but they also understood that it's their life.
Yeah.
They're responsible for this. So, you know, I'm going to give you the tools. I'm going to tell you everything I know, and then you can make the decision. And I'm here as your consultant.
Right, right.
I'm not here as your manager. I'm not trying to manage your life. I'm not trying to tell you every single thing that you have to do. But I am here to help you and give you the information that you don't know that I do know, because I am older than you.
Yeah. And Tirza, did you feel then also that that lowered your, like your mom guilt or your energy expenditure? Like, did you feel like your life became more free and playful that because you were able to do that?
Well, I mean, I think that my relationship with the kids got better.
Okay. And so that, which makes your life.
Yeah. Like it got happier. Better. Yes. But it also, I think that they started, this is the whole thing. Like I didn't want to transfer my fear onto them. We were talking about fear before.
Right.
And I realized that if they're not afraid, why am I? This is the thing that I ask myself all the time. So if my son, he was 12 when he started walking to the corner store by himself, which terrified me. Like I was very afraid of this. He didn't even have a cell phone. And I was just very afraid of it, but he wasn't afraid. So I thought to myself, if he's not afraid, why am I? What do I think is going to happen if he walks through the corner store by himself? And so all of the fears came up for me, you know, as a Black mom, especially like, well, the cops could stop him and I'm not there. He might not know what to do. Or so all the fears just informed my talking to him. So I said, you know, well, I know you want to walk to the corner store by yourself. Okay, I'm fine with that. But let's just talk about some things you should do in certain situations. If these things happen, then these are the things that you should do. Let's talk about that. What do you think you should do? So we talked about it. And then I said, okay, go ahead. You know, and I just had to let him go, because if I say, no, 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 you can't do that, all I'm doing is giving him fear that he didn't have.
Right, right.
He didn't have it. So I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to put fear into my child, because they already have things to be afraid of. They're human beings. They have fears. So why would I transfer my fears to them?
Right.
You know, so that was my whole thing. I didn't want to make them more afraid.
And did that in turn make you less afraid?
No, it doesn't make me less afraid. Okay. It just makes me have more self-control.
Okay. Oh, yeah, wow. Okay. Right.
Yeah, it does not. Because when he was walking to the store, I was still sitting on the edge of the couch. Like, oh my God.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I was still afraid. And like, I went to the window after 20 minutes, like looking for him, you know, I was still scared, but I didn't show it. When I saw him coming up the street, I just ran back to the couch and just sat down and like,
I'm cool.
Like I didn't, I'm fine. Yeah.
Whoa,
you know,
whoa, you're back. Oh,
you're the whole time. Right.
Like,
I'm
thinking about you.
Exactly. But, the more I do it, it's still in the first situation where my child is pushing my boundaries because they're showing I'm not afraid to do this.
Yeah.
I still have the fear, you know, but I've learned to talk to them. Just, you know what I mean? Like, okay, talk to them about your fears. Like if they don't know how to read, I'm afraid that because you haven't learned to read yet and your peers have, that you would not be able to transition into regular school if that's what you wanted. Or you wouldn't be able to do the things that you need to do when you're not with me. You wouldn't be able to. So let's talk about that. When do you have a plan on when you plan on learning how to read? What's your timeline like? Like, I just talk to them and tell them what my fears are. And then they tell me like, no, mom, I've been thinking about that. They always come back with, I know, mom, you know, like it's not something that I don't think about. And I'm like, okay. Just like having that like open communication and dialogue has been like a game changer for me after I started unschooling and just conscious parenting and gentle parenting. It's just mostly like just having those conversations.
Nice. Thank you. So you mentioned people of color and Black parents that do unschooling. Would you like to talk specifically about the opportunities for Black and people of color parents in the unschooling space, like the benefits of unschooling or how that's like a great opportunity?
Yeah. Well, I do think that I don't know if everyone is comfortable unschooling. I mean, it is in our society thought of as a radical thing to do. Right. Once people get into homeschooling, I feel like they naturally just devolve into unschooling. Like they just kind of relax a lot. because they see like, oh, I see what's going on now. But when you're on the outside, you can't really tell. You think things have to be as structured and strict as school is. But when you start doing it, you can see all the benefits. So I usually tell people of color, just start homeschooling. The best thing that you can do is get them out of the school to begin with, because they're, you know, it's not really a good place for Black and brown kids. It's really not a good place for anyone who's different, to be perfectly honest. And at least they will have the freedom of not having to ask to go to the bathroom, not, you know what I mean, being able to get a snack when they're hungry, being right. able to walk around when they read the book, or, you know, or just like stop and take a nap or anything like that. So I think that freedom, it does wonders for a child, and who any child. But I do think that Black people specifically, it's better for our children to be at home, with the fact that most teachers are not Black, and they're not, they have a lot of microaggressions and things that they don't even realize that they're doing, even mm-hmm. when they're trying very hard. The school system just hasn't caught up to where we are, you know, as a society. And I was talking to my oldest son about it not too long ago. And I said, come back to them and ask them, do you want to go to school? Is that something that you're interested in? And he's like, no, I don't want to go to school. And I asked him this last time, why don't you want to go? And he said, because it's an institution. It's a government institution. He said, I mean, we can think about it in a different way, but it's an institution. And if I go there, I will be institutionalized. Mm-hmm. So that's how he thinks about it now, you know? And I think that that's the proper way to think about it, especially with considering the, school to prison pipeline that we all know about. It's, for me, it just feels safer for my children to be at home with me, for just a myriad of reasons. But also, I think that at the end of the day, as a Black mom, I can console myself, regardless of what happens, that they weren't in that racist environment. Like, we all know that school's racist. We all know that. I mean, public schools are racist, and a lot of private schools as well. The curriculum is just not up to date. It's outdated, and it needs to be a lot more inclusive. The teachers have a lot of, you know, biases. They don't look at Black and brown kids the same way that they look at white kids. And they're not trying to be like that. We've all been conditioned. So just bringing my kids home makes me feel more comfortable. And I'll figure out other things to do. I'll figure out ways to get them, you know, in groups where they can make friends, and I'll figure out how to get them other things. But I sleep well at night knowing that they don't go into a place where they could be potentially faced with racism every single day that they aren't equipped to handle.
Yeah, I hear you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I relate to what you're saying. To like when you choose an alternative learning path and you want to have that freedom, you get to like decide what experiences your kids are going to have, what people they're going to be around, what information they're going to be exposed to. Like your locus of control like moves from out there to like inside of your family. Mm-hmm. And
I don't really try to like censor what information they're going to be exposed to. I just want to talk to them about it. Like for me, it's just, you know, I'm just right there and helping them make sense of it all every step of the way, you know? So that's how I feel. I've tried to change my role, like I said, from a manager to a consultant. Mm-hmm. And so like, I don't want to restrict them in who they are. I would never want to restrict them in who they are. So I'm not trying to like restrict who your friends are or, you know, what information you get. I just want to be here to explain it to you and have an open dialogue so we can talk about it and maybe talk about like your friendships, or is that really a nice thing that she did? Like, you know what I mean? Like just have these conversations because I'm always available.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that distinction. So I bet you get this question all the time, is like, how, you know, I think parents, when they consider bringing learning into the home or the family, they're like, but I don't have an education degree. Like, I'm not a teacher. I don't know what to do. I think I hear that a lot as people say, well, I could never homeschool because I'm not a teacher. Like, could you debunk that myth? Because you're not a teacher, right?
No, I'm not a teacher. I don't understand. I understand the fear, but I think it's conditioned because I believe that everyone's a teacher. So I think that what teachers are actually doing it in the classroom is classroom management. And if I don't know something, I can learn it with my child. I've never felt like if I didn't know it, that's it. We just don't know. Like, no, I'll just learn it with you. I don't know it. Why don't I know it? If it's something that I think you should know, then I should know, right? Yeah. Why is it only for you? So I would just learn it with them. Also, I don't feel like I'm the only person who is responsible for educating my children. Like if I don't know something, I get help. I get support. And the internet has been the godsend. It's like my saving grace because like my oldest son, he's been studying Japanese for like the last 3 years. I don't know how to speak Japanese. I'm a Black girl from New Jersey. I do not know how to speak Japanese. Okay. So I just got him, you know, Rocket Language. It's on the internet and he does Rocket Language. And then when he felt like he wanted to talk to actual people, we looked online and we found OutSchool, which has many, many Japanese classes, and he takes three of them now. You know, so it's like, and they have a group, they have their own group on Duolingo where they, you know, practice Japanese together. So you don't have to know everything. Like you don't have to be it all. Parenting is hard. You need other people. This was not a two-person job. It wasn't ever, I don't know why they made us feel like it was, like mom and dad can be everything. No. We need way more people to help us with this because there's just no way that we could know everything. And I would say, if you don't feel like you're a teacher, that's okay. Like you do know things. Mm-hmm. You do know some things. There's plenty of things that you can teach your kids. Focus on those things first. And as more things come up, go online, look for resources, find them, find people. And you would be really surprised, like how many people want to help you. How many people are in this unschooling community and homeschooling community that want to help you? How many free like trips there are and like, you know, co-ops that you can go to and, you know, learn how to plant things. I don't know, but like just anything your kids want to do, it's available. And all you have to do is go online and find out, or you can actually start it. So if you wanted to say, oh, my kid wanted to take a nature walk, but she didn't have anyone to go with, go online, find people in your area. Say, hey, I have a kid. They want to take a nature walk. Does anyone else want to do this? There are people who want to do it. So I just think you just need to expand your mind in thinking of ways to do things. Just get creative. Just get creative. Just do the things that you might be afraid to do, you know, but you have to step out. You got to step out. And I think a lot of mothers can relate that I can do things for my kids that I could never do for myself. Like I can go much farther for them. If they ask me to do something, I got you, you know? Yeah. So just wait until they start asking you. I'm telling you, you'll get the inspiration to like go online, find other people, find classes. And there's a lot of stuff that's free or low cost. Mm-hmm. Like the OutSchool classes that my son takes, there's like $10. You know, and it's ongoing. He doesn't have to do it every week. It's just $10 every single time he takes it. So, you know, there's plenty of resources.
That's so great, Tirsa. I feel like you're a very good resource for the audience, like, to show them like that you don't have like special knowledge. You don't have like, you know, that you're like, I love her talking about how you just started on the path and the path unfolded and like responded creatively to the challenges, and you've had a wonderful experience, and that it's like deepened and enriched your relationship with your children, you know, between you and your children. And that's like
Absolutely.
The greatest part of the story.
The part of the deepening of the relationship has been the best part.
Yeah.
And it's because I didn't realize how much school dictated what we did in our lives.
And everything.
So when we got up in the morning, you know, what we ate, you know, I remember I packed my son a lunch. He didn't like sandwiches or anything like that. So I just packed him little cheese and, you know, like my own Lunchable. And they told me it wasn't enough. So they made me purchase a lunch, like just what we ate, you know, what they learned, whether they wanted to or not, you know, then when they came home, what we did in the evenings and we did homework or we did some type of project, it just dictated a lot of what we did in our lives. And it dictated our relationship in that I was having to manage them and tell them to do these things. Okay, get up. Okay, put your clothes on. Okay, you know, it's time to do this and it's time to do that. And I don't want to do any of those things. Like, these aren't the things that our family decided to do. It was the things that the school decided to do. So our relationships have gotten so much deeper and better because that element is gone. And now I'm forced to have more conversations with the kids in order to know if they're progressing. I can't just ignore them because I won't know if they're progressing. And I don't have anyone else who's telling them what to do or just being there helping to guide them. Me and my husband, and like I said, all the people that we find that will help us in the village. But other than that, it's my responsibility and I have to talk to them all the time to figure out, you know, what they want to do, how can I help, and just always be there as that consultant, is letting them know that I'm here for you all the time. And I mean, it was my responsibility before, but since they went to school, it was like, you know, as long as they get the report card and that's, or a progress report, I know what's going on, but I really don't. I just know what this says, you know,
exactly.
You know, but in somewhere in my mind, I was like, well, as long as this report card says you have straight A's, then, you know, you must be fine. Like, no,
totally not.
You know, I realized after that I didn't have a report card. I didn't have anyone evaluating them, that I was going to have to, you know, develop a better relationship with my kids in order to get them to the point where they want to be.
Yeah. Thank you. That's awesome. That's such good input. So last question I always ask is, if you could create a metaphor comparing what you're doing in your unschool environment to the conventional system, like what kind of a metaphor would you give maybe?
I would say it's like summer vacation. So think about what you do during summer vacation. That is pretty much what we do as unschoolers. That's what my life is like. So when my kids went to school in the summer, I would have gotten them, like, you know, Brain Quest books so that they can continue to do that summer reading, going on trips, going to the museum, going to the library, you know, video games that they play, watching YouTube videos and talking about it. Everything that I did during the summer when my kids were in school is what I do now every single day. So that's what I would compare it to. If people want to get a visual, it's like summer vacation.
And you still work, right?
Oh yeah, I work.
You work nine to five, like Monday through Friday.
Exactly. I do. I work. And my husband works overnight. So that's how we were able to make it work. When we first started school at home, I would, like, on the weekends do all the curriculum stuff. And then my husband would just give the kids, he would execute it for me.
Right.
So it was a lot of work. It was a ton of work. It was constant. But we just liked it so much. We loved the freedom that it provided us. We go on vacations in October. We just loved it so much that we weren't, like, beholden to the school calendar. And that the kids could, like, you know, get a snack when they wanted to, all the things. But yes, we still do that. We still do this to this day. And unschooling actually helps it more because I have less work to do in that way. Mm-hmm. And I focus more on the relationship that I have with them than trying to manage what they learn. You know, that's what I do more now often, is just, like, have a conversation, watch movies and ask questions about the movie, read books. We read books together. and we talk about the books and, you know, or just all the things. We just have a really great time. Like I said, like summer vacation.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you so, so much for being on and for sharing all that with us. We've never had an unschooler on the podcast. So I think a lot of people will like learn, you know, really learn and like understand what it's all about and that it's not as scary as it seems.
No, it's really not.
So cool. And people can find you. Like, do you have, I mean, I know you're on Twitter, right?
Tiersa McQueen. I'm on Twitter at Tiersa J.
At Tiersa J. Okay.
Yeah. So that's like the main place you can find me. I'm also on Instagram at, mother_bay_i.
Okay.
And I do a lot of things with Akilah Richards. We're going to have a field trip on Crowdcast on Monday, actually, with Iris Chen, who wrote Untigering.
Oh, right.
Yes. So we're on Monday, June 7th. I will be on Crowdcast with Akilah and Iris Chen.
Okay. Awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if our podcast will be out. It won't be out by then.
Okay.
But I can take it. Yeah. So thank you. I do a lot of things
with the Make It Happen family, over at, Fair the Free Child podcast.
Oh, Fair the Free Child. How cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I really enjoy it. So nice. Yeah.
Well,
so,
you're making me jealous because I ended up starting a school and now like, that's a whole nother thing, you know, and it's not as free, obviously, as like just being at home with my kids.
Well, you know, I think that you can have an unschooling mindset and still go to school. I believe that.
And we kind of do. It's accent, so it's structure, but also a lot of freedom.
Right,
it's
very, I do believe that. Like, learner-driven. For me, it's more about the consent. So if my kids said that they wanted to go to school, I'm completely fine with that. Like, you go ahead. It's just, it's the mindset of, do you want to be there? That's more what it is for me than the school part of it. Cause if they want to go to school, I'm, you know, it's their life.
Yeah.
It's their life. So they can go to school. Like I said, if they're not afraid, why should I be? So I'm fine with that. They just don't want to go there. Yeah, you know, I always ask them like, and they're like, that's okay. I don't think so. They've done the pros and cons and they're like, no, you know, I think I'll just, I like my freedom. That's what they always say.
That's so cool. All right, Tiersa. Well, thank you so very much for taking the time and being on the podcast. I'm sure the audience learned a ton. And I hope our paths cross someday in the real world.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Take care. Say hi to your family.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the New Schools Podcast. Tell a friend. Previous episodes and show notes, including any books or websites our guests recommend, can be found at thenewschools.com. If you're a parent who is looking for a new school for your family, send us a message. We would love to help. We can answer questions, share the resources we have, and help you get in touch with people in your area who are on the same path, determined to provide their kids with the best education. It's wildly important work. Thank you for doing it, and we'll see you next time.